Yeah, exactly. Keeps it from being so abrasive to your nasal passages.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. It's me, Eric, talking about what I hope are interesting things for you. I have this podcast and a YouTube channel also called Garden Fork, all about eclectic DIY. Today, my friend Rick is here. We're going to talk about a $700 Labrador Retriever, a vet bill, a new podcast I like, the Neti Pot, and Apple Watch and Maps. Cool stuff, right?
I think that's it. How are you, my friend? It's good to be here.
I'm good. I'm $700 poorer.
You know, I have a friend that has a beagle, and she takes him to the vet hospital, and she tells the vet, $500 is your limit. $501, you put him down. I don't think she actually meant it, but she, in a way, she kind of did too. You know, I don't know.
It gets expensive. So I haven't shared this with a lot of people, but Spiker, one of my yellow labs up in the woods, met up with a porcupine. And porcupines are not aggressive. They move very slowly. But they stink. They just stink. And Labradors love anything that stinks. And they don't want to bite it. They want to stick their nose in it and smell it. And the porcupines seem to know this, so the porcupine just lets them do that. And the porcupine's one defense is that it can move its tail. I don't think it's a very... I haven't seen it in person, but they can basically swat a dog or an animal with its tail. And in Spiker's case, she had about 40 or 50 quills in her snout and her upper jaw.
Ow.
And a few in the lower jaw. And of course, she does it on Saturday night when regular vet is closed. And
it happens that way every time.
I was like, why don't you do this in the morning? You know? So we haven't had to go to the emergency vet in a couple of years, and there's one like a half hour away from us upstate, and we called them, and it was like by this time 8 o'clock Saturday night, and they're like, oh, we just took our last patient in. And I'm like, well, aren't you open 24 hours? They said no longer. And I'm like, well, where do I go? And they gave me a name of one which is farther away, and I called them, and they were very nice, and they said it's an 8 to 10 hour wait here in the waiting room.
Wow.
And then I called a third one, which I'd never used before, but they were, you know, like an hour drive away near Hartford. And they were like, yeah, come on in. Well, you know, it'll be a bit, but come on in. And it's an hour drive anyway, so they knew we were coming so they could slot us in. And we got there, and it wasn't like a super fancy place, but it had been there for years. But the people that worked there were great. It was a little compact kind of place, but... And you're kind of hearing everyone else's dilemmas with their dogs or pets or stuff. So it's not very relaxing, you know. But they were they had to deal with one dog ahead of us, and then they took Spiker in. And it was just me and the camera operator and Andy in one of the – they put you in one of the treatment rooms to wait, I guess. But then
right.
We moved actually into the waiting room because I'm like, it's just this tiny room, and you know. But it – And they were fantastic. They had the knocker out, which I knew they would have to do. And it was kind of funny because the vet is telling us all the procedures. And we're like, we just said, this is our fifth time. So just do what you got to do, you know?
Well, what is the procedure, really?
Quills have a little barb on them.
Yeah, yeah.
So like a little fish hook end. And if they're just loosely in there, you can pull them out with pliers. And the trick to that is to lay the dog on his or her back,
mm-hmm.
And then you can work on their mouth or whatever. It usually takes two or three people. If they're really deep in there, do not pull them out. They need to go to the doctor. It's just not fair to your dog. You know, your
right.
Dog's part of your family. So they, we pulled out the bottom ones because they were just in there loose. You can do it with the pliers. But then they have to anesthetize, or at least they... make the dog kind of woozy with a localized anesthetic then, and they'll pull them all out. But some of them go so far in, so they were so far in the upper jaw area, they pulled them through, so they pulled them out of her mouth.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Instead of trying to pull them out her snout. And also, since skunks are incredibly smelly and dirty, there's a whole infection, risk of infection. So they gave, she's on 10 days of antibiotics. And then they want us to go to our regular vet for a checkup just to make sure there aren't any quills that they missed, because the quills can move through whatever body part they got into. They can get embedded, and then they slowly move through the arm or the snout or whatever. So they would have to pull those out. And they also x-rayed her jaw to find out if there were any quills embedded that they didn't see, you know, visually. It was fantastic.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the other thing we learned with, since we have this set of Labradors, is we got pet insurance, which is a little pricey, but it seems to even out every year with some really giant vet bill.
Oh, I'm sure sorry that happened. You know, you accidentally said skunk in the middle of that. You meant porcupine. Course, I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. But skunks are smelly too. Yeah. But porcupines are smelly, and porcupines are prickly.
Yeah. And it also made me realize, I've talked a little bit about this before, but the private equity is buying up veterinary practices, much like they bought up doctor practices.
Right.
You know, in other words, Wall Street money, they form a corp, and then they buy out a bunch of veterinary practices, and they put management in place. And that's happened at our vet, actually, as well. So there's kind of a dwindling amount of emergency vets I have found in our area up there.
Well, some of it was just because of COVID. I follow the American Veterinary Medical Association, AVMA, website. They have a newsletter. And extraordinarily large number of vets either retired or died during COVID. Yep. And mostly the ones that retired were just tired of fighting with patients about basic hygienic things like a mask. You know, if you want to be in my shop, you got to wear a mask.
Interesting.
And a lot of them, people would fight them on that and not just say, well, okay, I'll go somewhere else, to say, you know, I have a right not to wear a mask in your shop. And that's not true. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's his shop. He can make the rules for whatever he wants. And there were just so many bitter fights about it that a lot retired, and then quite a few died of COVID, coming in contact with their patients' owners and stuff. And it takes 6 to 7 years to create a vet, and there's been a real shortage. There was actually a glut of vets, according to the AVMA, before COVID, and that's the reason that emergency hospitals sprang up to absorb a lot of the vets that were coming into the market. And now that they have been absorbed, those vets have been absorbed into practices, there are just no emergency vets around. That's a constant complaint on my local Virginia Beach Next Door app, is, you know, where are the emergency vets? How come I can't find one? I need one desperately. And you know, that's just the way things work out.
It's also, veterinary school is incredibly expensive.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And it's amazing. I have a friend that, tried almost her entire life to get into vet school. Exceptional student, you know, took all the right courses and everything. And she just didn't, ever make the cut to get into a Texas veterinary school, which is what she wanted to do, to go to A&M. And, it turns out that it's easier to become a medical doctor than it is to become a vet.
Wow. One of my, our veterinarian here in Brooklyn, she went to veterinary school in Italy.
Wow.
And she was honest about it. She said, look, she said, I couldn't get into veterinary school here in America. Basically, she's like, you know, I have a different way of learning than book learning. And that's like me as well. She said, in Italy, the veterinary schooling is almost all verbal.
Oh, interesting.
And practical, hands-on. And she said, so I learned enough Italian, and I learned to tolerate cigarette smoke in the classroom. And she's fantastic because she came back to America and transferred her veterinary license. And she's also an acupuncturist as well. And she has more of a holistic way of looking at it rather than this, you know, prescription based, on the lack of a better word, clinical right. look at it. And when our older lab, Henry, had a lot of issues, she was great because she's like, we're going to do this CBD stuff. We're going to do acupuncture. We're going to minimize her pain. And it was great. So you can become an expert in different ways. And
oh,
I think
sure.
that sometimes the school, the way American universities run, maybe aren't the best for everybody.
Probably not.
So, yeah, everyone, if you want to share your veterinary stories or suggestions for coping with that, it's the porcupine is, and some dogs get mixed up with the porcupine once and learn, and Labradors don't seem to do that. So,
you know, I will say this. I have a collection. I have maybe hundreds of books on my Kindle, but in my private hardback collection, I have kind of survivalist things. I mean, you know, just what to do if
I would have
go
never
bad.
Known.
Yeah. And some of them are about first aid, medical things, and emergency veterinary care. What to do if you can't get to the vet. And it's helped me a lot occasionally to pull one of those out and look at it and read up on something about what one of the dogs is experiencing when it's Saturday night.
Cool. I mean, my other suggestion for people is to, before your emergency, maybe after you're listening to this fine podcast and you leave a 5-star review on your app, you can look up emergency vets in your area and make a list. Because we just have this go-to one, and they had changed their hours, and I'm like, okay, you know, your mind is spinning because your Labrador is, you know, basically panting and going, hey, what's going on? I got these quills in my mouth, you know. Because they're still happy despite having quills in their mouth. And you're all of a sudden, you know, like you're using your iPad to search for 24/7 vets. And it'd be good if you had that information ahead of time.
Right. Yeah.
I bet Nicole has that information already.
Yeah. She's so organized.
What's that like?
She's a marvel. I have no idea. Well, I'm glad that Henry's better, and I'm sorry that Henry won't learn from this experience. At least he didn't get a quill in the eye or something like that.
It's Spiker, by the way.
Oops, okay. Spike. Spike is the golden, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yellow, actually, Rick.
Well.
All right, let's move on. I'm very intrigued by you're talking about your Apple Watch and using the Apple Maps app together.
I didn't know about this until recently, and it just sort of happened. If you go, you got to have an Apple Watch and an Apple phone and using Apple Maps, obviously. But if you set up a route in Apple Maps on your iPhone and then go to the Apple Watch app on your iPhone and turn on haptics, which is the little buzzing noise that it makes, or the vibrating. It shows you an arrow, turn left, turn right, go straight at every intersection you go through, major intersection.
Shows you an arrow on the phone, on the watch.
On the watch. But more importantly, it taps at you. And so it'll give you a 2-tap warning that you're expected to do something pretty soon. And then if you get 6 short taps, that's a right turn. And if you get 3 groups of 2, that's a left turn. And it is so amazing to drive that way or to walk somewhere or be on a bike. You can keep your head up, looking around, seeing what's going on, and know that a turn's coming up. And that and occasionally when I'm driving, it wakes me up a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, I need to turn. I need to exit here soon because I'll be listening to a podcast or talking with my wife or something. And it's really kind of neat. And if you're in kind of a sketchy area and you want to look like you fit in, you don't want to be looking at your phone all the time trying to figure out where you're going to go if you're walking around. And so just having it tap at you tells you, turn right at this corner, turn left here.
We actually, I haven't really talked about this yet, but we went to London last week.
Did you?
Or the week before.
I didn't get an invite.
Well, it was a trip we had planned, and then the dumpster fire happened. So Virgin Atlantic was kind enough to let us keep the tickets for a really long time before we could use them. And we finally found time. And anyway, we went with another couple. And the other couple, one of the people is a technological geek. And we had to go different places, and you can turn on maps on your phone, and then there's some kind of setting where you turn on your camera, and as you're walking, you're looking at the phone, and it's showing you what's in front of you, and it has arrows to turn left or right or go forward.
Wow.
Which I thought was interesting, but I found it kind of annoying, because I'm like, I don't need this. I don't want to look at my phone while I'm walking. I don't want to hold my phone up at eye level, because it looks really weird, first of all. I want to look around. I mean, I'm from New York, so you become very aware of your surroundings at all times, because back in the day, it wasn't the greatest place to live. Now it is. But I did find that interesting that Apple had baked that into the Apple Maps, where it's essentially a visual direction.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I'd like that either. Now, I did know that they had you could hold up the phone with the camera on and look at something like the Eiffel Tower, and it would tell you about the Eiffel Tower, all the things, when it was built, who built it, all that stuff, which I thought was okay. You know, that's kind of useful. But navigating that way with it up in your face, I don't think that'd be great. I'm kind of looking forward to the Apple monocle, you know, just one monocle you'll put in one eye, and you can see everything around you. And then that's.
I also, we use the phone. You can take a picture of a tree leaf, mm-hmm. and it usually identifies the tree leaf.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Or a plant, you know, because we're in the park and we're like, oh, what kind of tree is that? And then you just hold the camera up to it and you go beep, and it's pretty good at identifying it.
It says poison oak. as you're holding it still, you know, you can say poison oak.
Hey, real quick, one easy way to support Garden Fork is if you're going to shop online and use Amazon, please use the link to our storefront. The link is in the show notes here. If you click on that, it'll open it up in your web browser. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it will open it up into your app, ideally, if you're using the Amazon mobile app. Please shop locally. I go to my local hardware store first. If I can't find it there, then I go to the orange or blue store. If I can't find it there, then I order it online. So if you are shopping online, use our Amazon link, amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you. I have found that Siri, like I was in Grand Central Station during the flood on Friday, and there was a gentleman there, an older gentleman, who only spoke Spanish and was not from New York. And there wasn't anyone else around, and he was trying to find out where the train was going to go. It wasn't going to go anywhere, unfortunately. But I literally just talked into Siri, and I said, translate this train goes to Danbury into Spanish. And it did.
Wow.
And then I would just hand him the phone, and he would read it. And then he would speak into the phone in Spanish and it would translate. So I didn't even have to load an app. I don't use the voice command. I just hit the side button to turn on Siri. And I said, translate this phrase into Spanish. And it did. And it was like, wow.
Wow. Yeah. You know, there are only two Siri commands that I ever use. One is when I'm listening to a podcast and I'll say next, because I just don't want to listen to it or I'm tired of it. And the other is I'll say make a note, and it'll open Notepad, and I'll make a note for something. And that's the only thing I've ever used it for. And I guess I need to explore it more now that all these ChatGPT things are coming online. We can expect those skills to be, to get even better. The problem is that I am not a very verbal person. I will write it before I'll say it most of the time.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's whenever I say it, I stumble and hum and ha, and I don't think it through. And then Siri says, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah.
I use the reminders app. I literally, like, I'll put clothes in the dryer at 10 o'clock, and then I just hit the side button to turn on Siri, and I go, make a reminder at 11 o'clock to take the clothes out of the dryer. And that's how I run my life every day.
Yeah.
Making lists and stuff, I just go, yeah. I have like 10 reminders a day timed at different times. And I get so much more, instead of forgetting everything that the camera operator told me to do, I get everything done.
Yeah, I believe in offloading. Your mind is for thinking, it's not for remembering stuff. And I'm very much in favor of offloading as much as you can, particularly the piddly little everyday stuff, onto the reminders app. Occasionally the calendar if it's long term, and just, you know, don't worry about it. Just look ahead every day and see what's coming up.
Sweet. Well, we have one more thing to talk about, and then we also have the after show if you're interested. If you're a patron of the show, we have an after show where you can hear more of Rick and I if you want.
We have a killer topic for the after show.
Yeah.
I wish I could think of what it's going to be, but we'll have a great topic.
I know what it's going to be. Okay. For a very long time, I've heard about, I have chronic sinitis, I think it's called. My head's always clogged, basically. And no matter what drugs I take, unless I take really heavy steroids, it's an issue and I don't want to do that. But I've seen the neti pot, you know, the saline rinse of your sinuses thing
right.
for years. And to me, it just looked kind of weird. You had to have this little ceramic pot that you poured into your nose. And then recently in the New York Times, there was an article, they have great health articles, by the way. They just talked about the new vaccine that's available. So go get your new vaccine shot.
I got my COVID and my flu.
Oh, good.
So,
but they were interviewing a ear, nose, and throat doctor about the neti pot thing. And she said, you know, there's kind of a weirdness with that. She goes, I don't use the neti pot. I use this squeeze bottle that has these pre-measured, it's basically salt and some
baking soda.
Baking soda. Mm-hmm. And you have to use boiled water, let the water cool down. And I was like, oh. And she had a video of her on YouTube, which I'll link to, using the squeeze bottle thing. And I'm like, sign me up. So I bought it. And of course, it sat for a month in my kitchen, like everything that I buy.
Right.
And I finally was like, my head was pounding. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try this. And it is so simple. And it's not, you don't have this weirdness with this teapot thing you're shoving in your nose. It's just a squeeze bottle. And it just works. You don't have to like make your sinuses do something. And it isn't a miracle, but it certainly does help. And I think over time, it will help even more because it's just keeping my sinuses clean. And like if I'm doing some work where I'm sanding wood or I'm doing some kind of demo and you have a mask on, but you still feel like you got junk up your nose, you can clean it out with the saline squeeze bottle thing.
Yeah, I actually have one of the old blue neti pots. It's plastic. But I use it about this time of year every year. I'll start getting locked up and start having problems. You know, it washes out your sinuses. That's good. But the salt dries them up too, which helps you breathe. And yeah. I think that's a great deal. Now, the neti pot's got a really bad reputation because people were taking them into the shower, filling them with just lukewarm shower water and no saline or anything in them. And they ended up with some sort of weird amoeba eating at their brain.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. We don't have many listeners, and we want each of you to stick around for a while. So don't do that.
I take a Pyrex, like a quart Pyrex measuring cup thing, and I put 8 ounces of water in it, and I put it in the microwave and I boil it, and then I let it sit there to cool off. You don't want to put hot water in your nose. And then they have these pre-measured packets, and you put the measured packet in the little squeeze bottle, and you pour 8 ounces in, and boom, you're done. And it says right on the side of the squeeze bottle, replace squeeze bottle every 3 months, because, you know, I guess junk can build up in there.
Sure.
And I will link to the company I got it from, and I'm really happy with it. So I've known about this probably for 30 years, but just this porcelain pot thing seemed too weird for me. And, it, you know, it took a article I ran across in the New York Times to say, oh, why don't you try this? And I'm like, oh, okay. And gee, why didn't I think of that before? You know?
Yeah. Just use good sanitary technique and it works like a charm. It really does help me a lot.
Yeah, you have to have it with the salt and the sodium. The baking soda is like a buffer.
Yeah, exactly. Keeps it from being so abrasive to your nasal passages, which are very, very sensitive.
Don't say dumb things.
Don't say bad things to your nasal passages. They're very sensitive.
I bet there's a brand new listener listening to the show and like, okay, now they're talking about nasal spray.
Oh, we ought to open a store and sell this stuff.
Well, I don't have it up in front of me, but I will link to the company. They're very established, and I bought the squeeze bottle with 60 packets, and it's brilliant. It sits in a little box. You put it in the cabinet, bring it back out, spray your nose every day, and boom, you're done.
Right.
It's like flossing. You know?
Yeah. Nobody. Oh, I saw an article just today that brushing your teeth and flossing helps prevent cancer, heart disease, and kidney failure.
Yeah.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, because all that gack in your gums, if it gets into your body, it's the same thing as the unsterilized water in your sinuses. You know.
Right.
We're experts at this.
Of course, yeah. Well, it is a, what grows on your teeth is a bacterial film. And so it can do damage if it, gets too intense. So just do those, do those regular things that are good for your health and good for you. Okay, well, we've reached the 30-minute mark. I bet people have already gotten to wherever they're going to drive to.
Yeah, and they don't want to hear anything more about me spraying stuff up my nose. So if you have some thoughts about this, it's radio@gardenfork.tv, radio@gardenfork.tv. I would love to hear from you. It's who knows? You could be talking about veterinary porcupine stories, something else. Rick and I are going to stick around for the after show for patrons. If you're interested in that, there's a link below. I ask for a cup of coffee a month. You get exclusive, I post pictures like 3 times a week about what I'm doing to the patrons. They get the after show. They can message me with stuff. It's kind of fun. It's a fun little tight group. And new Patreon is bringing out a discussion group built into the app.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm not impressed with Discord.
Yeah, the Discord thing, either you click with it or you don't. And so we're going to move over to the Patreon discussion group, and that'll be baked into the app, so that'll be nice.
Okay. Well, I think we need a closing line that we say every time, and I'm going to propose this one just because of the weirdness of things the way they are right now. Science always wins. I am just so tired of anti-science people. But anyway, my friend, it was great to talk to you, and we'll see you on the other side.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goose. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.